angry people last week, but it comes up from time to time with a lot of my associates. So I think it's time we discuss it, because I think it's a major issue that happens in our lives. And it's not just about Manatech people. This is something that you can learn and grow with that will make your life just so run so much better. And it has to do with, how do I manage angry people? Because even, you know, first of all, why is it important for Manatech? It's critical for Manatech, because I don't care who you are, you're going to get people upset just because we are in what kind of business? We're in the people business. In fact, some people say, what's your product? And you know what my response is? My response is, my product is people. That's my business. My product isn't glyconutrients, it's people. That is my product, is people. And so if we're in the people business, if that's truly what we're in when we look at our Manatech business, and I'm going to suggest to you any network marketing company is in the people business, that the reality is you're going to invariably come across people who get angry. And they're going to get angry and upset for many reasons, because we just have a society that's full of people that, you know, love to express their emotions in all sorts of ways. And it doesn't matter, it's not about you, it's more about them, where they're coming from, what their programs are, what might be ruining their life. Oop, star six in the background so we can avoid our noise. Somebody's phone is ringing. Star six and you'll be muted. Okay, anyway, so invariably we're going to come across angry people. Now, some of you have had experiences already in your Manatech business. I know I have. I've had people come up and they you know, they'll call you griping about the product never coming, or the automatic order. They didn't want their automatic order and they got it anyway, even though they signed up for it 4 weeks ago. Or you know, I mean, you failed to do something. Maybe you committed to doing something and you didn't follow through on it because it dropped through a crack, because you're not organized and you're not keeping track of commitments you make. And that a statement about what you need to do to correct your life so you don't have those things happen. But from time to time, it happens to all of us. So, but if you fail to follow through on a commitment, somebody's going to get mad or angry with you, and they're going to express that anger or get mad. And the another thing that happens, and I had one of these happen last year. We had this woman who's a business builder that was signed up under somebody else in my organization. I helped support her do a couple meetings up in the Dallas area. And when she first started, and I suggested that she try to build two legs, balance them, you know, make sure you get three people in each of two legs, and your first approach is a team bonus. Well, 6 months later, she was angry as all get out because no one told her that after you get to 1,500 in volume, you have to have at least 500 in one leg. It's no longer three in each of two legs that get you the team bonus, da 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 da, you know, and she just got flipped out about that. Well, people get angry over funny things. You're not going to be able to, you know, especially if she's not directly underneath you, when you start somebody brand new, you don't tell them the entire comp plan. And people just get angry for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they get angry just because they need an excuse why the business isn't working for them, or why they're not going to continue doing the business. There are all sorts of reasons people get angry. And I just listed a few of them on my sheet outline today. I could have done a 20-page outline just listing the 1,001 reasons why people might get angry with you involved in your Manatech business. So we're talking about not just other associates, we're talking about cross-line associates, other associates in your downline, your upline, your new prospects, your brand new associates, your consumers, your business builders. We're talking about the whole kit and caboodle, because you know what? We deal with people every day. So if we all acknowledge that we're going to deal with people every single day, we're going to acknowledge that we're going to have angry people enter our lives, and we need to come to the conclusion that in order to move forward, we need a resolution of whatever they're angry about, whatever the causative factor is, whatever the problem is. So your job in your life, if you're going to manage people and work with people effectively, is to come up with a great mechanism of diffusing anger. And always remember one thing, that this world is about win-win. Not you win, they lose, but win-win. You want every situation that you possibly can get involved in to end up in a win-win result. Again, if people are your business, if they win and you win, everybody's going to be happy. If you win and they lose, you have lost. You really think you've won, but you've lost. Because no one feels good about losing. So you want to try to build scenarios where everybody comes out a winner. And that is what's going to help you move your business forward and be an attractor factor. In other words, you're going to attract people to you because you always get them feeling good. Even when they're angry and mad, you can convert that to a feeling of goodness and joy. And if you can do that, people, if that's a skill you develop, which isn't a tough skill to develop, then you've accomplished a huge piece of the puzzle, of tackling the puzzle of how to make this business work for you, because your product is people. Now, there's a great article that was written in Networking Times by Lydia. Can you imagine? My Lydia. Lydia's in the background going, I wrote it. No, Ramsey, her last name is Lydia Ramsey. It's called Keeping Your Cool, and I'm sharing some of the strategies she uses. And some of these are so basic, I've used them my whole life, but she outlines 5 steps in resolving any conflict. 5 steps in resolving any conflict where you're dealing with somebody who's lost their cool. So how do you do that? Step 1, listen. Just circle that word on your outline and highlight it. Listen. You need to listen to the person. When somebody's activated, aggravated, you know, angry, you know, whatever might be affecting them in their lives, you need to sit back and listen to them. Too many times we jump in and try to fix it right away, and that's not what we need to do. We need to sit back and listen. We need to listen clearly, intently, with no judgment. So many of you, when somebody gets angry with you, the first thing you want to do is your whole role is about how do I defend myself. It's normal human behavior to go into defense mode. Does everybody get that? But that's not what this is about. Defense mode doesn't come to resolution. Defense mode just causes greater aggravation. It adds its fuels to the fire. It causes so many other things to trigger. It doesn't allow the person that you're talking to come to resolution, because now we just have an argument that we instill. Stay away from arguments. You don't need to have arguments. You don't have to have a winner and a loser. Does everybody get that clear? That's not what life is about. So stay away from judgment. Stay away from defensive posture. The judgment enters our picture because we try to right away say, is the person right or wrong? We want to make them wrong because anger is wrong. It's a negative emotion. But don't make the person wrong. You're just going to get them to just be even angrier than they were when they started with you. And then you lose, and they still lose. No one wins. So you want to stay away from judgment. You want to stay away from defensive posture. You want to focus on them and really listen. Come with blank slate, hear them out. Hear what they have to say. Don't interrupt the person. Because a lot of times when we interrupt a person, they get angrier. I don't know about you, but if you're fussing about something and somebody stops you dead on, you get madder because your whole concept is you want to let loose, you want to let it go, you want to be able to spew. Some people get angry and they just need to spew. And that's why you don't want to interrupt them, because many, many times the person who's just spewing, what happens is, I call it, they just run dry. They spew, 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 and finally they're out of breath and they're out of air and they're out of stuff, and you know what? They're done. And they resolve it in their own spewing. So you got to let people run dry, as I call it, run dry. That's part of listening, is you let them run dry. Secondly, a lot of times when people just spew, they start hearing themselves in the spewing that they're doing. And I've had this happen to me, and you'll see it too. If you let people do this, allow them the freedom to do this, is they eventually talk themselves out of what they're angry about, because they start laughing at themselves, because they find after they go on and on and on, they go, wow, I've sure made a mountain out of a molehill. And they start laughing. And now you've accomplished your result without even maybe going through step 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, just by being a good listener. And finally, what's really important is people need to be listened to, and they're going to be attracted to you if you listen to them, and they're going to be so excited when you listen because they finally found somebody who will listen to them. So deal with anger and angry people in this way, and you're going to be much more effective. And it's also critical, I'm going to suggest to you, because some of you say, okay, Mary Jo, I can play that game, and don't look at it as a game. This isn't a game, this is a skill set. If you play it as a game, you're disingenuous about it. You're not really, you know, honest about listening to them. They're going to pick that up because you're not going to be doing the other physical attributes to being honest, which are eye contact, no distractions, not interrupting by saying, I see, I know what you're talking about. Don't interrupt, do all that kind of stuff. That stuff's placating. So if you are in there and you're not allowing your body language to be consistent with your intent to listen, they're going to read that and they're going to think you're placating them. So be careful on that. Make sure you support yourself and you're critical that your body language reflects that. And why is it that we get defensive? Why do we get judgmental? Why do we do? Because we have bad listening skills. Something that's going on in your head when people get angry with you is, number one, you aren't feeling that to be right. We have a huge society out there, a huge percentage of society that has to be right. And when you feel like you have to be right, the problem is that you're never going to ever open yourself up to having wonderful relationships because you always have to be right. And some of you know people like that in your life. I used to be one of those people, and it's very hard to have good, solid, incredibly in-depth relationships with people when you always have to be right. Being right gets you nowhere. But so why do we choose it? Because it's something in us that tells us we have to be right. So be able to dismiss that program running your life about having to have to be right, and you're going to make phenomenal relationships with people because you're going to be open and listen and hear. And sometimes your opinion doesn't matter. So get rid of always having to have to voice your opinion about things. You know, just listen. Be there for people. That's what they want. They want you to be there for them. So get rid of the program, I have to be right. The other thing is I have to be in control. That's another program running a lot of people's lives. And that also prevents you from being a good listener because you want to be in control. When you listen too long to somebody, you feel like, oh my gosh, they're taking up all my time and I'm not getting my 2 cents worth in, and you get frustrated and so you start talking just because you feel like you've lost control. Don't do that. Allow the person and hear them out. Don't get into your control mode. Fight the urge internally, and it's just going to be something you need to constantly work on until it becomes habit for you not to have to be in control, not to have to be right. Those are just programs running your life, and you can choose differently. You can choose not to allow them to run your life. Okay, so step one, listen. Become a great listener. Just hear them out. Step two, after you're done listening, they run through their stuff. They've gotten over whatever they want to disclose to you. You come from apology. Now, this is really going to kill you people on the phone that have to be right, because you're going to say, Mary Jo, why should I apologize if I wasn't wrong? And I'm going to tell you, you apologize anyway. You apologize whether or not what you did or was right or wrong or whatever. When somebody tells me, you never told me that about the comp plan, okay? A minute into it, they're done. And I go, you know what, Sarah, I am so sorry. I am so sorry whether it was miscommunication or a mix-up or whatever created the problem. I apologize. Because I am sorry. You apologize because you truly are sorry. You're sorry about the miscommunication. Whatever that might have been, you are sorry. Are you not sorry that the person's angry? I get sorrowful when somebody gets angry because it's a negative emotion. It's detracting from their effectiveness. So I feel badly. So I tell people, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the miscommunication or the mix-up or whatever what transpired. Or I'm sorry that I failed to send that to you, even though I committed to sending it. You want to apologize. You are, and the reason you apologize, even though you're saying, well, but I'm not wrong. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about you're an entrepreneur, you're growing your business, your business is Manatech, your business is about people, and your best approach when you're growing your own business is to take responsibility for your business. So step into responsibility and apologize. Your willingness to be accountable will have incredible, it'll pay out in spades with the other person. So again, make sure you step into apology. And the second part of it is body language has to be there too. So don't just say, oh, I'm sorry. Or, you know, don't do it to show that you're pacifying them. Do it with true honesty from your heart that you truly are sorry. Come from heart to express that concern about being you're sorry. Okay, so second, so apologize. And again, you people have to be right. Boy, that's tough. And I've met some people that I don't think they've ever said they're sorry in their entire life. And what's that all about? It's not coming from love. It's coming from I have to be right. I never did anything wrong. Boy, haven't met one of those yet, but I've met a lot of people who think that way. Or somebody, I remember when some person said it. Well, yeah, I said something to him one time. I said, well, have you ever done anything wrong? And they said, one time. And I just start laughing. Sorry. But I mean, we can do things wrong, and we don't even think, you know, you may not think they're wrong, but they turned out that they didn't work. So could have we been more effective? If you don't like the word wrong, then don't use the word wrong. But could have we been more effective? Yes. So we can be apologetic about that we weren't as effective as we could have been. Okay? Great. So get over that I have to be right stuff. Okay, so 2, apologize. Step 3, sympathize. Nothing greater than showing empathy to people. In other words, if somebody has a problem and they could, whatever it might be, let's say that their automatic order didn't get in, it didn't get on the ship with them, and they went on a trip and rah, 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 and rah, rah, and you go, man, I am so sorry. That is so bad. I am so sorry that happened. That is just awful. And then you start sympathizing and you go, you know, I get it. If I go one day without my Amber Toast, I know what it means to me. And so I get it where you're coming from. You get it? Be in their ballpark. Feel their feelings. Step into where they are and make sure that they feel credibility and you give their feelings credence that what they are feeling about what happened, they truly should be feeling some kind of sense of loss or whatever, okay? So showing sympathy or empathy for the person is gigantic. It helps because it allows them to feel credibility. It also helps them get over where they are because you're giving them credence. So now they can say, okay, great. So I was okay to feel upset about it. Okay. But now it kind of diffuses them because there's no reason to continue being upset because everybody agree, hey, man, that was right. Wow, that was tough. And, you know, I'm sorry for it. And I'm sorry you felt that way. I'm sorry that's what happened. But I get it why you feel the way you do because the frustration would have been me if that happened to me. And they go, yeah, wow, that's great. So that's step 3. And step 4 is take responsibility. Now, some of you say to Mary Jo, that's the same as step 2 because when you say you're sorry, what are you doing? You're taking some level of responsibility for it. Not apologizing is one thing. Taking responsibility takes that one step further. It's now take responsibility to come up with a solution to whatever the problem is. So if the person's auto order didn't get there on time, what are you going to do about it? You're the leader. It's your business. Step into solution. Don't wallow in problem. If you don't move forward into solution, that person's going to stay in problem for another 3 weeks. And they're not going to be very effective giving you referrals or signing new people up as a business builder or anything else if they're stuck in their problem. So what you want to do is take them forward into solution. What can you do from a solution perspective? Whatever that looks like, step into it. So you've got to find the solution. You can work with them on finding a solution. I suggest that's the best way to do it. Because when you're working with somebody who's got a problem and they're angry, you're going to need to get into it. You have empathy, apologize, and say, what do we need to do to make this right? That's a great question. It's kind of like the question, what do I need to do to support you? You know, what do you feel that would make this right? What do you want? Because sometimes you can't come up with a solution because you don't know what they really are looking for. But you ask the question and maybe they'll give you some insight into what they really need or what they see is that should happen. And then you can decide whether that's feasible or not, or you can come up with your own solution. But a great way is to find out what's going to make them happy again. Because your goal is to bring this person back around so they're positive and they're moving forward and they're taking action that's going to be reflective of the kind of action that you want them to be taking instead of wallowing in misery. So to move them out of misery and wallowing in misery, you need to come up with solutions. One great way of doing it is asking them the question. You know, let's make this right. What is it? What would it look like for you to make this right? What do we need to do? And sometimes they're just so angry they can't see. So that really puts the onus back on you to come up with a solution. And whenever you come up with a solution around an angry person or somebody that's out of control and issues like that, I'm going to suggest to you that always build a bonus in it. Like if somebody, you know, gets the wrong, I don't want to say that. If we do something wrong, you know, what if we ship the wrong product for somebody? You know, if I ship a product out to somebody because they call me at nighttime and they need it immediately and I FedEx it overnight the next morning, and I've done that from time to time like all of us have, and let's say they got the wrong product and they're livid and they call up and they're like, rah, 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 and you go, oh my gosh, and you know, you listen to them, you say you're sorry, you empathize with them and say, I know exactly how you'd feel, man, if I didn't have Amber Toast, I don't know what I'd do every day, but let me make this right. Let me ship out Amber Toast to you tomorrow. And what else do you take? Are you on Plus? I'm going to throw in a bottle of Plus. And you give them a bonus factor. There's some bonus factor. And some of you go, oh my gosh, Mary Jo, oh, that's cost $28.94 on automatic order. I don't know if I can afford. I'm going to suggest to you, rebuilding a relationship, there is no price that you can put on that relationship. So get out of scarcity mentality and do something that's right. Make it right, and make it more than right. Make it right plus, if that makes sense to you. Whatever it is in the relationship that's been hindered, you want to correct it and more, so that there's something additional you're offering up, because that's what's going to reestablish and bring that person totally full circle around. Now they're going to get a free bottle of Plus, or now they're going to get some free materials or DVDs or something. You're making it right by going an extra mile. You're giving them more than what they would have gotten if the situation would have been, you know, never would have happened in the first place. That is what we call the bonus reward. It's going above and beyond the call of duty, but it shows dedication, it shows how much you care, and it shows that you're really in this with them. It's not about how you can skimp by. It's about being there in it with them, coming to a resolution that really creates a total win situation for them, so they can feel confident and comfortable that they're getting out one step ahead. So that's the action, kind of like the resolution of it, you know, making it, taking responsibility, and then taking the fifth step, prepare for action, which is taking the next step of going above and beyond the call of duty. Number five, prepare the action, which is going above and beyond the call of duty. So take responsibility, come to solution, and then prepare the action, which is communicating what you're going to do above and beyond the call of duty. So it's beyond just meeting what their need would have been met, but doing something special. And it's kind of like a reward for the pain they went through. Try to put salve on the wounds, and that's what we do. That's our life. And it seems like a lot of work, but it really isn't. These five steps are simple five steps. Sometimes you can do it in a five-minute conversation. It doesn't take 5 days, and it's something that we just need to step into as leaders, as managers of people, is we have to become people who know how to diffuse problems, diffuse anger, come from solution. And one of the reasons that I learned this early on in my life was because it's always, if you wallow in problems, you get nothing done. There's nothing effective about wallowing in problems. Nothing. No one moves forward. You don't move forward. They don't move forward. No one moves in any good direction. So you want to always come from solution and resolution. Anytime there's an issue, come from solution, resolution, and what a huge difference it's going to make in your organization. And some of you are still fighting with people. Some of you fight with people because they argued with you that you mistold them or misdid something and had to be right, so you had to argue with them. No, I never told you that. I never did that. You get in a big argument around it. Who cares what you did or didn't do? Again, it's not about whether you're right or wrong. The issue is, how do you resolve the situation? Resolution doesn't come from argument. Argument just adds more fuel to the fire and keeps it going. Solution comes from somebody saying, well, you know what, I'm sorry we had that miscommunication. That doesn't say you're wrong. It just said there was a miscommunication. Clearly, if somebody says you never told them something and you believe you did, telling them, well, I know I told you that because of this, this, and this, and I know I was right, and I know I did this. I hear this all the time in between people, and I just smile because I go, how silly is all this? Why don't you just say sorry for the miscommunication? Clearly, there was miscommunication if somebody interpreted it wrongly. Clearly, there was misinterpretation. And then those of you who want to really be right, you're going to still argue with me and say, but Mary Jo, I know there was a miscommunication because I made it so clear. I said it so clear. And I'm like, I don't care how clearly. The issue isn't how clearly you stated it. The issue is there was miscommunication because they heard something differently. And people hear differently based on where their brain is at the time you're communicating with them. So maybe they didn't hear it. So again, you go back to apologizing for the miscommunication. Take that route all the time in dealing with people instead of going head-to-head with them on issues that are tough, because you're not going to come to resolution. And then if you say, okay, I love it. Step one, listen. Step two, apologize. Step three, sympathize, empathize with the person, bring it home. Step four, step into responsibility, take responsibility for it, and come to solution. Step five is finally prepare the action, come to solution, present it to them, communicate it, and give them a bonus treatment in it. Those are five steps. How do I remember that? What if I'm in the midst? Somebody calls me angry. How am I supposed to do? Do I download Mary Jo's outline from today's call? You're not going to have that with you. But it's cute that Lydia, in her article, she came up with a mechanism to do that. It's an acronym, and it's called ASAP. ASAP, and we use ASAP all the time, as soon as possible, ASAP. Well, now you got ASAP meaning something other than as soon as possible. A, apologize. S, sympathize. A, accept responsibility. And P, prepare to take action. So remember the word ASAP, and you'll be there. A, apologize. S, sympathize. A, accept responsibility. And P, prepare to take action. Isn't that great? So you can remember ASAP, and that'll get you right on track with what you need to say when somebody comes at you with anger. Okay? So great. So a mechanism for you, a skill to learn, and it's something that none of this will help you if it just stays on a piece of paper. The way this information really will promote and help you is by starting to apply it in your Manatech business every day. And I can suggest, we probably have some people on the call. Is Ann on the call? Ann, why don't you share with us? This is somebody in my organization, and Ann, what I went over this with you 6 months ago, not exactly in this format, but remember you had somebody in your organization. You want to share the facts around it, just because it's a true fact situation that a lot of people might come across. Yeah, this was a gal you were working with, and she had somebody you had proposed to her the All-Star Pack. Yeah, okay. Do you remember that? A good deal to do the All-Star Pack, yeah. They see what Yep. So you want to defend yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It does. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. No. What you think or what you said doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, true. Keeping your vision in mind, which is what I talk about when this is a business of people. Our vision is to get as many people on the products as possible and get them turned on to sharing with other people. If that's truly your vision, how can arguing over what you said in a phone conversation about whether they should be an all-star or a consumer, how can that ever serve your purpose or your vision, right? It never serves it. So keep the focus on the vision that you have and the purpose. A few hundred. Right? Yeah. No. Isn't that wonderful? So see, my coaching with Ann, as she's telling all of you, was not just about 6 months ago we went through this, and it's totally changed. She can see a total shift in her life, not just around her Manatech business, because we deal with people in every aspect of our life, but she's dealing with her husband at a whole nother level, when he and it's great. I'm telling you, because that program, I have to be right, is what keeps us, you know, in this argument mode. And I used to do it too. That's why I love to teach it, because I see the shift that I've made, but the help of supporting other people making the shift. My husband was a real advocate. He loves movies, and he would always tell me, he'd go, Mary Jo, we've already seen that movie. Well, the intriguing part is I travel so much with Manitech and have for years that he goes to a lot of movies without me. And I have a steel trap memory. So when he would tell me, oh, we've already seen that movie, and I go, don't you tell me what movies I've seen, because I had never seen it. He went to see it. I don't know when, but someday I said, I have never seen it. And he would want to just go, no, we've seen that movie already. And it would cause arguments between us, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I would just get so angry that somebody would tell me what I've seen and what I haven't seen. That just really irritated me. And then finally I got it, like, well, who cares what he thinks? If he wants to think that we saw the movie, okay. Why am I getting angry? Why am I getting caught up in his thing? Why do I have to be right? I know that I never saw it, but what does it matter whether I tell him I did or didn't? Why do we want to? It's not worth the anger, the argument, the, you know, I just release it. You release it about being right, and you just, because what's more important about being right is what? For me in my marriage is having a wonderful, phenomenal, happy, fun-loving, caring, adoring relationship with my spouse. So my trade-off is huge. The cost-benefit analysis is gigantic. So it's so easy for me to dispose of the concept I have to be right. And the same thing applies. I don't do anything. He says, we've already seen that movie. I don't even respond. No. I just look at him and say, okay, I don't have to lie. I don't have to misread. I just don't get into the battle. I don't enter the whole thing, you know? I just don't even... Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, it is a habit. And it's the same way with associates. They can call me and they can say anything on the phone and I'll just go, wow, am I sorry about that communication, you know? I hear you. I feel for you. I'm sorry that miscommunication took place. I don't sit there and go, no, you know, when we first met that first time at Applebee's and I talked to you about the compensation plan, this is how I outlined it, and I'm clear that that's what I... Where does that get me? It just gets her angrier or him angrier because I have to be right. And even if I prove that I was right, am I making her feel better that she got angry and yelled at me about something? No, you're making them feel worse because now they feel, oh my gosh, they attacked you for no reason. You want to attack me for a program running your life or something that you did or some miscommunication, you know, hey, you know, I know it's not about me. You get it? What happens to so many of us is we concentrate and focus on ourselves instead of focusing on the pain the other person's going through. If I'm in this world to impact lives and relieve people of pain they're in, it's not about me being right or wrong or whatever it is. It's about me saying, wow, I am so sorry about that miscommunication. You get it? And how easy is it to do that? Uh-huh. Hi, Jody. Good. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sure. No. Sure. First of all, I have a great email that I send out around the class action suits to tell people what it really is all about, right? So they get a flavor for it, because you have to be able to respond to that. But the other thing that and of course I'm a lawyer by profession, so it's easy for me to sit down and talk to somebody on the phone and just say, you know, from a legal perspective, let me just open the door to let you know what this is about. because I think if you're going to make with this woman, I would say, you know what, I'm calling you just to open your eyes to something. You know, whether you want or don't want to take the products is still your decision to make, and I'm not here to dissuade you from making that decision. But I think because I really honor that you're an intelligent person, that you'd like to know all the facts before you make that decision. Is that right? Okay, you get that? So you're opening them to the possibility that wouldn't you want to know all the facts before you made your decision? And I think that some of these facts are missing. And then just talk to them a little bit about what those class action suits are truly about. And there is only one today, you know that? Everybody know there's one suit? Although they filed 12, 9 of them were dismissed, 3 of them are now consolidated into one class action suit. And it's up for probably motion for summary judgment sometime in March or April. So, you know, but they just need to know what's going on, that people are reacting to the price of the stock that fell. It has nothing to do with the quality of the products. Nothing. Yeah, sure. I can do that for you. Sure. But that's what you want to do, Tony. You don't want to make her wrong, but when somebody doesn't want to take the products, I just want them to have true clarity of why they're making that decision. Does that help you? So come from clarity. Just say, hey, you know, I got your box back, and I understand that you're trying to, you know, maybe you've changed your mind, but I want to make sure you have all the facts before you make this decision. Because that's how I am. When I make decisions, I like to feel comfortable I made a good decision based on the facts that were available, not based on some misinformation. Okay? And now she'll be open to hear from you because she'll feel like, oh, wow, maybe I had some misinformation. Okay? You get it? Yeah, good, 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 good. Sure? Right. Just out of shock. Right. But see what... Yeah. Well, but see, that's the next step about sympathy. Always show the empathy. Put yourself in their feelings, and that's what oh my gosh does. It's like, oh my gosh, how horrible. Would that be awful? You get it? All they're doing is putting sympathy first before apology. But you can do, and I really believe either direction works, but you have to do it. You can't just say, I'm sorry, and then move on. You got to get the empathy and sympathy in there. Are you following me? Same thing we talked about today. It's just which step you put in which direction. You can show sympathy first and then apologize, or you can show apology and then sympathy. But you got to show the empathy. You've got to show that they have absolutely total credence. Give their feelings total credibility so that they feel like it's valid, their reaction's valid. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, that is awful. I can't imagine going through something like that. And then, I am so sorry it happened to you. You know, so you can be equally appalled as they are. So you give them the credibility about how they're feeling. Okay, good. But good comment. Amen. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, well, I think you should get Don Partridge's piece on why this Ambertose doesn't muscle test well. Do you have that? No, he actually wrote something up. Maybe I can find it for you. I think I'll, let me see if you, sure. Hello? Yeah, go ahead and speak to it. Sure. Tape me all the way through the question and answers, don't you, Lydia?